Brother Wishon and I was talking. They're leaving us here and pick up what's left to say, and that's pretty tough sometimes. I do want to say I appreciate Brother Tingen working with us in the mission board and director, and I thank God for sending him our way. I also want to thank Brother Tim up there for taking care of the sound for us this week. He's been faithful up there, and nobody sees him unless you get up and preach or teach, and you see him up there. And I do appreciate his willingness to do that. And, of course, he's very willing because I see that he gets paid. Amen. That'll make you willing. No, he would do it. He's gracious to do whatever we ask him to do, and I appreciate it so very much. And I appreciate you fellows. I thank God for you. I'll say one thing, Brother Clark. I got tired listening, not to just what he was saying. I got tired thinking about what he was doing. And I think, man, if I run around Bowling Springs, he'd have to drag me back home. Somebody'd have to come pick me up and get me back. So, brother, I do appreciate what you're doing. Appreciate what you had to say and your work and putting yourself into it so very much. And it did challenge my heart. And I appreciate that from the depth of my heart. And we kind of enjoyed counting one of our missionaries. And Brother Woodworth, what a blessing he always is. And we appreciate that. I got another question, though, for Brother Tingen. Now, I didn't pick his subject. He asked me if I'd do it, and I thought, well, I'll give it a stab. But the older I get, the more I realize I don't know. And the more problems I face, the less I know what to do with them. And then the question I really got for you is, why did you let the women go? We're going to talk about contention in the church and the women go. Man, if that didn't... I guess he thought it through and thought, well, we'll let them go and then talk about contention. But that be as it may, may God help us today to try to say something that can help us. I don't know that I can really help you, but I know God can. I know God can. I know there's not a problem too big for God. There's not any situation God doesn't understand, doesn't know how to deal with. And our dependence must be upon him. Turn your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I, as you turn there, I want to say again, and I do say it with a humble heart, that I appreciate you men, every one of you. The men that are here are missionaries on the field or deputation, and the men that are on the board. I do appreciate you and love you. And thank God for you. What a blessing it is to be a part of what God's doing in this world in these last days. And you and I are privileged to live in days, I believe, in the coming of the Lord Jesus. And you can look back in history and say, I wish I'd have lived here or there, whatever. We're living in exciting days. And may God help us in these days. And you pray for us. As we get older, I want to wind it up right. I want to finish the course and have them finish and run well. I realize the fact that many times I've stumbled and messed up here and there and still do. I'm still trying to learn, Brother Obed. I remember something you said yesterday. And there's a dear man of God doing a great work in India. And he made this statement to us as a board. He said, if you can help me, I'm teachable. I'm teachable. If we ever reach a place that we're not teachable, we're in trouble. But thank God, still teachable. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's start reading at verse number 10. Ask you to stand, please. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now we'll stop reading there. And he goes on, talks about baptizing a few folk, and then said, I couldn't remember who else I might have baptized. I thought, now that's pretty good. I identified that. I can't remember either those things. So I kind of like the rest of it. But he said, I hear there's some contentions among you. And we know that there are and will be. And missionaries on the field, I want to say this to you. People are the same everywhere. I believe that with all my heart. And talking with missionaries, being with different people, no matter what country, no matter where they come from, people are people. And that we need to remember, that there will be contentions. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege to stand here for a few moments and try to share. Lord, you know my heart, that I'm a needy creature. And Father, without you, we can do nothing. And so I pray that you would help us illuminate our minds. And I pray, Father, you speak to us and through us, that we may be some of a blessing to these people. I love them, lift them to you. And I pray in Jesus' name that Jesus Christ be exalted, and help us, Lord, to be and handle and do the best that we can with your help for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The word contention means brawling, means strife, means debate and quarrel. And do you think you ever have any of that in your church? Anybody ever quarrel about anything in your church, or have any strife in your church? Or you that may be on deputation, you've been in church and coming out of a church, you know what I'm talking about. And the same thing is true in mission field, I'm sure. But I found something I want to show you, that an introduction that touched my heart deeply. I want you to look in Proverbs 13 and verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 10. And while you're in Proverbs, just hang on there. We'll look at another verse in just a moment. It says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. But I want you to underline in your Bible, only. Only. That word only means only. Excludes everything else. Only by pride cometh contention. Now God said that, and I believe the word of God is true. And if God's word is true, then that means that only way you're going to have contention in your church is pride. And we as preachers have to deal with that. We have a contention sometimes, and even among us, and we have to deal with that that pride in our own lives. We all like to be right, don't we? I don't think I'm the only one speaking that way. We all like to be right in whatever it is we're dealing with, but by pride cometh contention. But I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 20. Now that's the cause of contention, is pride. And that pride is an exaltation of self, and not taking our own place. And I'll say just a word about that in just a moment. But notice in verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, wood to fire, so is contentions. A contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down deep into the innermost parts of the belly. And so he's saying strife comes by pride, and then it continues on because of talebearing and talking and saying things that ought not to be said instead of letting it go. And that's how strife continues. That's how that contention continues. So you see the cause of it. You see the continuance of it. and what happens as you go on with it. I want you to look with me in Luke 17 and verse 7. I'm going to read a few verses here that I read Sunday night preaching here in the church. And God spoke to my heart deeply about this, and I believe it ties in with what I'm saying. Also, what I'm saying today ties in with what Brother Hill preached yesterday about bitterness. But in chapter 17 of Luke, verse 7, "But which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by, when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and girt thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink." Now, humanly speaking, looking at that sounds kind of selfish. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trot not. That is, in our language, I don't think so. "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say..." Now get this. God smote my heart and talked to me about this. When you've done all you commanded to do, and you've done what you should do, and you've taken your place as a servant, a bond servant, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. He said, you've done all you're supposed to do. You've done your, that servant been out there in the field all day, comes in, and then the master says, now you serve me. He said, when you've done all that, just say, I'm an unprofitable servant, and I've just done my duty. Now, that takes away all, that'll knock a pride out of you. That'll make you take your place, and I need that, and we all do. And thinking about this that I'm talking about, contention, because that'd do a whole lot to do away with contention in churches if everybody would realize that we are simply bond servants to Christ. The Bible says we're not our own, we're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our body and spirit, which are God's. If we are bought with a price and we are His, then we're bond servants to Him. And that means me and everybody in the church that's saved is bondservant. And that means that when we've done all that we're supposed to be doing, then we're not looking around trying to find fault with somebody else and make contentious problems in the church. And when you have contentions in the church, it's because of pride. That's what the Bible said. Pride causes contention. And so we need to understand that. Now, I'm going to give you one other scripture in the introduction, and then we'll try to say just a few things. I know more about the contentions than I knew about how to handle it. So I'm trying to handle the introduction here and get some time going. But one verse of scripture really bothers me. In Hebrews 13, 17, "Obey them which have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may do it with joy, for they must, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Now, the part that bothers me about that, now I believe in pastoral authority and I believe in all that kind of stuff and in the right place. But the part that really bothers me, Brother Jimmy, is that part that says that they that must give an account. They that must give an account. And I must give an account to God. I have to do that. And that makes fear in my heart, and the right kind of fear, not I'm afraid of a bear, but I fear of an almighty God that knows everything. And he said, only by pride cometh contention, and that I must give an account to God how I deal with things and how that I lead the church and how that we do. And you as a missionary are the same way in your field of labor, that you must give an account to God how you handle that and what you do with it. To me, that helps a whole lot as I think about myself and dealing with people and to realize the fact that I must give an account. I have to answer to God. And so that puts fear in me and makes me cautious. And sometimes I may be classified as being too slow to do some things or don't handle things real quickly or that kind of thing. I think we need to make sure that we find a will of God and know what God's saying in some things before we jump into it headlong. And I know one thing for sure. There are always three sides to everything that comes up. One side is saying one thing, one side is saying another thing, and then that's really what happened and really what the situation is, and God knows that. And so I need to find the mind of God. I need to find out what God says and let God help me. Now, I blundered through a lot of things, and I'll be the first to confess. I blundered through a lot of situations I look back on. I wish I'd have handled differently. And I pray that God today will help me say just a few things that may be somewhat of a help to you and to me too. Number one, and I'm like Brother Barker said about his dad. I'm not a whole lot on alliteration. Every once in a while I'll get something. It just happens to fall in place, but not because I'm smart enough to figure it out. It just works that way. But I put down here, for sure you need to deal with it now. Just be sure it's something that you need to deal with. If you're going to try to handle contentions in the church, be sure you need to handle it. Everything is not what it seems to be. Now, there's a lot of things I look at in church. Sometimes I see one thing, boy, I think that. I know what's going on. Then I find out something else, and I didn't know what was going on at all. Last night, did y'all notice Brother Mark Wooker got up and left out real quick? Now, somebody could have sat there and said, well, I bet you that he didn't like something the preacher said. I bet you he's upset about something, or else he's got a physical problem. But that wasn't it at all. He had a phone call from a man in our church that he's a deacon that's responsible for, and that man's been real sick, and he was afraid something had happened to him or that he needed help right then, and so he went out real quickly to find out about that. I didn't know that when he went out, and then nobody else in the church knew that. Only he knew that, and God knew that, and he did it because it was trying to be the office of a deacon that he needed to fulfill and do what he's supposed to be doing. And so he did that. He wouldn't walk out of a church service for anything unless he really felt like it was something had to be handled. Now, God just gave me that illustration just now, but I thought that is a good illustration. And let me share something else with you. And my people's heard me tell this. And if you've heard me preach much, you've probably heard me tell it too. But everything is not what it seems to be. One morning, early on a Saturday morning, I was dressed in old clothes. And I wasn't dressed up at all. And I went to the paper box to get the paper. And I walked down through my driveway. And over in the yard, I saw a beer can laying there. And so I picked up that beer can because I wanted to get it out of my yard and get rid of it. But when I stepped up on the pavement of the road, they had just repaved that and raised it up about an inch or so. And I wasn't paying much attention, and I picked that up, and I stepped up on that road, and I fell just as flat as a flitter in the middle of that street. There lay the pastor of Gateway Baptist Church with a beer can in his hand and looked like a drunk. First thing I did was look down the road, up the road, across the road, got up as quickly as I could, got the paper, and headed toward the house. Now, easily somebody could have seen me land there and said, do you know what? I saw the pastor of Gateway Baptist Church land in the street drunk, had a beer can in his hand. Don't tell me he wasn't drunk. He had a beer can in his hand. And you know what? They could have been telling the absolute truth. I was laying there with a beer can in my hand. I was going to do something in the yard, and so I wasn't dressed in good clothes, and I guess I looked like a drunk. And somebody could have said he looked drunk, had a beer can in his hand, he even fell in the road. Now, that's true, but it wasn't what it appeared to be. I am thoroughly convinced that a whole lot of our problems and contentions we have in our churches is because we do not understand what's really going on. And people will jump to conclusions and say, this is what really happened. And I know this. And I believe it's Brother Barker or somebody preaching was talking about. Brother John was preaching about it. That's the one that's doing it. As he's always talking about him, if he went in a restaurant or he said if he watched a football game on TV, no, he thought they was talking about him. I thought, that's a pretty good illustration, amen. But we get that way sometimes. We feel like somebody said something and things happen. I walked by somebody one time, And I would not have ignored them for the world. I would not have slighted them for the world. But I had something on my mind. I was going to the back of the church to see about, and the church about ready to start. And I walked by them without looking at them or speaking to them. And they just got out. Well, we won't go into that. But anyway, a situation that I wouldn't have done it for the world. But they got upset about it. And really got upset about it because I tried to explain to them and try to help them get that. And that didn't go too well. But anyway, you pastors know what I'm talking about. And on the mission field, you're going to have some of that too. Because people are people everywhere you go. And so it'll happen. But be sure your fight or your dealing with that contention is worth even dealing with. Sometimes it's best just to ignore it and let it go. Amen. Did you know a bulldog can whip a skunk, but it's not worth the stink? Amen. There's some things you can handle and maybe win in the battle, but it's not worth the stink it brings. So be sure you weigh out what you're going to deal with and that it's worth dealing with. And some things it'd be best just go get in the closet somewhere and pray and say, God, this is your business, your church, your work, and I'm just going to leave it with you and go about my, I need some help to get ready to preach Sunday, or I need some help to get ready to do whatever it is I'm going to do for God. And let God help you in that, and I believe he will. In Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and shall mount up with wings of eagles, and run not be weary, and walk not faint. Wait upon the Lord. Didn't you know waiting is the hardest thing that we do sometimes? And I find myself getting impatient and think it ought to be done now. But sometimes if we just wait on God, God will take care of that situation, Brother Johnston, and we can just go on, serve God, and wait on him. And God takes care of his business. God always does what he's supposed to do. And I'm not saying not a time we don't need to get, there are things we need to handle, but understanding it, knowing all the details, we don't always do that. And we must understand that. I've sat, in the past couple of years, dealt with things that I never thought I'd have to deal with, but I've sat and had someone sit in my office and weep and tell me how much they love God and how they're going to serve God, how they wanted to come to church, how they want to get their children in church. And dealing with a certain situation, dealt with that. And then trying our best to find the will of God, trying to do what was right. And then a few weeks later, their other party's gone and couldn't find them. That's sad. But it's going to happen in churches. Contentions are going to come. And sometimes you're going to be told things and they're going to convince you that they're totally right on their side. And I mess up sometimes in that. I try to have a compassionate heart, and I love folk, and I want to help people. But God help me to be strong in areas that I need to be strong in, compassionate areas I need to be compassionate in. And there's a thin line sometimes in knowing exactly where you need to stand on a certain issue that may be going on in the church. Then let me say this secondly, suffer wrong. Suffer wrong. And I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6:7. 1 Corinthians 6:7. Now, of course, this is dealing with going to law, but I think the principle will apply. In 1 Corinthians 6:7, now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? And why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Now he's talking about going to law, and we know what the Bible distinctly says about that. But are there not times that things happen in churches, that contention comes, that we may have to suffer some wrong ourselves to keep down the other issues that you can't handle and you don't, and couldn't help if you did handle it? Amen. And sometimes it's better just to suffer the wrong. You remember Abraham and Lot? And their herdsmen out there, they fussed and fought over where the land was, what grazing ground they was going to have. And God had blessed both, and so they'd increased. But you know what Abraham said? He said, Lot, you just pick out whichever way you want to go, and I'll take the other.
And Abraham was a man that God had called out of the Ur of the Chaldees to go to Canaan. Abraham was the one that brought Lot with him. Abraham was the one that was in charge. Abraham was the one that had the final say. Abraham could have said, wait, I was here, and God brought me here, and this land is my land, and we're going to keep it. You take your herdsmen, you go that other direction. And he didn't do that. He said, you pick out which way you want to go. You make your choice, and then I'll take what's left. In other words, Abraham said, I'm willing just to suffer whatever the wrong is here, or whatever the situation may develop out of it, and let you go your way, and we'll go along and still love God. Amen. And I believe sometimes that's the best way to handle some things, is that we just say, I believe I'll just suffer the wrong. I believe I'll just take this and just go on and let God be God in my life. Of course, God took care of Abraham anyway, always does. And Lot got in trouble. And so God always works it out. God always has a final say. And so whenever you think you're suffering wrong, don't worry about it. God has a final say. It'll be okay. And it'll wind up right, and you'll not have to worry about that. Acts 15, this kind of interests me. Acts 15, verse number 37. This is dealing with brethren that love God. And it says, Barnabas, I'm about to get the wrong man here. Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. Now, we know the story, how on the first journey that John Mark had left them. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention, that word contention, was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And so here's two brethren that love God, trying to go on missionary journeys, but they couldn't work together because they contended about one person that they, one said, let's take him, other said, let's don't take him. And so they had a contention there. And what they finally decided was they just go separate ways, but they still go ahead and serve God. They sometimes, that even as men of God, and you're going to mission field, they're going to be some missionaries that you cannot work with. They're going to be some men you cannot work with. And you'll have to just say, well, you go do your thing and I'm going to do my thing. And let God have his, amen. And we as preachers and men of God, called of God, we don't always agree on everything. We don't always agree on the method of doing everything we're doing. And these times that contention comes. But I'm going to give you a little confession here. In dealing with that, I'm struggling on who had the pride. The Bible said only by pride cometh contention. The Bible's true. Here's four men of God, and they're having contention. Pride's in there somewhere. Somewhere, pride got involved. I never had thought about that. I never had dealt with it. And some of you theologians, y'all tell me after service where that is. I appreciate it. It helped me. Hey, man, I need help. I'm just being honest with you. But that's what the Bible says. And so I never had seen that until I got this topic to deal with, which he so graciously gave me, which I so muchly appreciated. And so, regardless of which one it was, we know that when it wound up, and let me follow this thing through, when it wound up, later in Paul's life, he said, John Mark can be profitable to me. And so it worked out all right in the end result. Amen. Sometimes we have to part company. Sometimes we have to let things go. But we can still love each other and pray for each other and go on for God. Amen. God help us. I need help. I know that. And then settle privately what can be settled privately. And you know these verses, but I'm going to give them to you quickly. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. If you look there real quickly and keep your Bibles open, Matthew, and you probably know where I'm going after that. But therefore, Matthew 5:23, therefore if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou remember that thy brother hath ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Now that has a lot to do with this suffering wrong. If somebody has ought against you and you feel like you hadn't done anything wrong, well, suffer the wrong, go make it right anyhow. That's what God says. Now in Matthew chapter 18, you knew I was going there, 18 and verse number 15, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If you got people in the church having contention between each other, try to get those two to go together and settle it privately. And said, if he shall hear them, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he'll not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If he shall neglect to hear them, then tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And there may come a time they have to be disciplined in that situation. But how good it is to first try to handle it privately, first try to get it settled individually, first try to keep it as much out of the church news as possible. And these things goes on at times that I try not to talk about, try not to say about, because it just gets somebody talking about this and not understanding what's going on. And it gets all blown out of proportion, and it gets out of hand. I do want to say something to you about this, and turn with me in Acts chapter number, well, where am I going? Acts chapter 6. I don't know that. Acts chapter 6. And I realize as missionaries on the field, you're not going to have deacons right off the bat. But after a while, you're going to train some men to be, God's going to send by. He's going to take your place and you're going to move on somewhere else. And somebody in that church, and I hear this all the time, nobody's qualified to be deacon. I realize that is a problem. But I do believe that God Almighty put the church here and that he will have somebody somewhere to be qualified for every office that needs to be qualified for. Sometime or other, may have to wait on it, may have to take time for it. It may be later than you want it to be, but there will be. In Acts chapter 6, in those days there arose, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmur of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. I used to think as a young preacher, I had to handle everything, every problem came up in the church. Don't have to. There's a lot of things non-spiritual that I ought not even have to mess with. Amen. He said, notice what he said. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So be careful who you pick out, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. That's what our job is, prayer and ministering of the word. And those deacons can handle a whole lot of things and doesn't have anything to do with spirituality. And they can handle some things to do with spirituality. And let me say this, I need their input. I need their help. I am not a dictator. I'm not tired to run every little thing. I don't know it all. And a lot of things, and I told you before, and I mean it with all my heart, there's a lot of things I don't know. And a lot of things I need help with, and I want to stay teachable until I finish up this course and end it right. But I need men around me that love God and that can help me in trying to make decisions and things that affect the church. And you do too. On the field, you'll need that. And you'll find some folk that know the culture and folk that love God and may not be able to be deacons, but it may be somebody there that can still help you and find out and handling situations, how to handle it and what to do. Now let me close with this and I'll do it quickly. And we've talked about be sure it's that you need to deal with it and then be ready to suffer the wrong or help somebody else suffer the wrong. Then settle it privately. But let me conclude by saying this. Best way to handle contention is not to have it to start with. Well, preacher, how do you do that? Well, I noticed that Israel did most of their murmuring and complaining while they was in the wilderness when they ought to have been in Canaan. They had more contention back there in the wilderness than they had to have, because if it went on into Canaan when they should have went into Canaan, they wouldn't have been out there mumbling and complaining about everything. And they mumbling. I really, sometimes I get tickled at it. I read that, and I love to read about it, because sometimes Moses will say, God, your people, and sometimes God will say, Moses, your people. Neither one of them want to claim them. I prayed about some situations in church. I thought, well, I don't want to handle it, and I don't know if God does or not. And so, but anyway, the best way to do that, did you notice that in the day of Pentecost, they wasn't murmuring or complaining. They wasn't saying it. It's after Pentecost, and after they got settled down, people getting saved, and daily ministration, then the widows got to complain. That's why I wondered why he let the women go. Amen. And they got to complaining, and I just talked to a preacher this week, and he said the problem is the women want to run the church. I tried to pastor a church one time and found out this other woman. That didn't sound right, did it? This woman wanted to pastor the church, and then I didn't stay long by their choice. I started to tell you about sickness. They got sick and tired of me. But 3 months, and I found out she was pastor and I wasn't. So I figured that's time for me to go. But I tell you what, when I first got there, people getting saved, people got to shouting, praising God. We was having a good time. And brother, I wasn't in any contention. I didn't know anything was wrong, didn't know anything was going wrong. Till certain things come up, and then I found out, well, not like I thought it was. It's different. But I've noticed in church here, I've been here almost 24 years. I've noticed when everybody's excited about getting somebody saved, everybody's trying to do what they ought to be doing for God, they're excited about missions, excited about doing that God have us to do, there's less contention. So let me hush. Thank you for listening. God bless you.